God's word for you, 1 Corinthians 7, verses 29 to 31. Brothers, I also say this, the time is short. From now on, let those who have wives live as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, those who buy as though they were not going to keep anything, and those who use the world as though they had no use for it, for this world's way is passing away. Paul isn't suddenly changing his tune and advocating a kind of Christian stoicism, but due to the present crisis or distress he mentions earlier, he warns against being too caught up in the affairs of the present world. If he said this about the most intimate relationship, which is marriage, we should expect that he would say nothing different about the other concerns of life. Now, it would appear from verse 31, where he says, the world's way is passing away, that he's encouraging Christians to adopt this attitude at all times, at least at all times of distress, between now and the end of the world. Mourning for a loved one who has died is natural for a believer. We see that in Genesis 37:34. And of course, Jesus wept, John 11:35. And a time of mourning is even acknowledged in Deuteronomy 21 in the Law of Moses. But for those who serve God, there is something beyond grieving as we continue to hold out the gospel of forgiveness to God's people. God did not allow Aaron or his sons to mourn while Nadab and Abihu perished in the tabernacle in Leviticus 10. And Nazarites in Numbers 6 were to use caution even when a member of their immediate family died. Paul does not go that far here, nor does he command those who grieve to stop it, but he tells us to live as though we were not in mourning, that is, to continue with life, because the time is short. Yet we also remember that Jesus blessed those who mourn in Matthew 5:4, and, you know, perhaps Jesus' words about fasting say what I'm trying to get at better than anything else. This is from Matthew 6. When you fast or mourn, pour oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting or mourning, but only to your Father, who is unseen. Rejoicing is no sin. Jesus talks about this in Matthew 5 in the Sermon on the Mount. But whatever makes you rejoice, rejoice even more that Christ is preached and that your name is written in heaven. Buying something is no sin. Jesus commands it in Luke 22:36. But whatever we buy or use, we should use as if we were a guest and not the owner forever of a thing. Using a thing in the world, whether a tree, an orchard, a garden, a rose bush, a patch of ground, even a house, is something we do from necessity and with God's blessing. But whatever I hold in my hand today, will belong to someone else when I am dead. It was not really mine at all, but the Lord's. If I eat an apple, I may rejoice in its taste and benefits, but I should give thanks to God for it and let the matter rest there. The same is true of everything I have, hold, or use in this lifetime. None of it will come to me in heaven, or come with me to heaven. So inwardly, in my heart, I treat each day and night like a traveler, with a goal in mind, and glad of the use of a stove or a pan or a towel as I move along my path through life. But what is a house, a car, a farm, a business, or a priceless work of art? Such things are mine to care for while I'm here, but they will either perish or belong to someone else later on. I must not be a slave to possessions any more than I should be enslaved by passions or lusts. Things do not and must not replace our eternal joy. Let such things go and serve the Lord with gladness. In Christ, I'm Pastor Tim Smith. This is God's word for you.